Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our News and Cues episodes. The news stands for news, and the cues stands for questions. Your great Star Wars questions that we can't wait to dig into. I'm excited, Ken. We got some good news.
We do have some great news. You're right. And News of Q is our Star Trek show about Q coming our way, too. Before we get to all of this, I want to remind you today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4Center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which I'm trying to think of MP3 players back in the day. I didn't have one. I used compact discs. There you go. A little bit later, we have our Four Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us and help the show in the process. Star Wars Life Adventures. You know, one of my life adventures was driving around in my 2002 car listening to my 2002 mix CDs. Joseph, so life's good. How are you?
What was Garbage? What were you listening to? The band Garbage. Not that all music in 2002 is Garbage.
Garbage would have been on there. Yeah, it was It was all over the place, man. What's weird? Yeah, obviously I love my '90s rock. That's my era and everything. But this is a lot of early 2000s rock. A lot of Weezer when they were coming back, Green Album stuff. But what's funny is, you know, I haven't heard. I got this car after my Camry was totaled, and so now I have a car with a working CD player again. Yes, I know I'm hip. I'm hip, kids. So I found this case of old mix CDs, and you put them in, and it's like it transports you back to that year. That moment, the track listing. I know what song's coming next. Like, oh, Lemonheads are popping up. Oh, yeah, there they are. It's a weird trip, man. It's a weird trip.
Oh, that is awesome. You know, that whole music thing, that's pretty good. I've been trying to listen to more music, and what do you know? It makes you happy and things like that. It's amazing. Amazing, the power of music. The things we learn on our Star Wars podcast. Yeah. I didn't have any real specific life adventures to share, you know, all of the ups and downs of the world getting ready for the election. I like Halloween, spooky times, been watching some fun, scary movies, working on some writing projects. But the big thing for this week, it was not a big thing, which is why I wanted to share it, is last night, we record on Monday. So last night, Sunday night, I realized outside of staying up on the news, I hadn't really had any Star Wars adventures. This is the first time it happened where I said, well, I just need to make a Star Wars adventure. So I have something to talk about. So I was like, there's some action figures I have not checked on. And I was looking around for action figures I wanted to buy. My wife was just finishing making dinner so we could sit down and eat. And she was like, you know, 60-second warning, we're going to be sitting down to eat. And I was like, I gotta find. And I found one of the action figures that I have been wanting. And it's always hard to tell when they're actually out versus when they've been announced versus pre-released on Hasbro, yeah. Whatever. At that point, it's hard to keep up with. But long story short, with just like seconds left to go in my action figure looking time, I got the last copy on Amazon of the Remnant Stormtrooper vintage figure, a vintage collection from The Mandalorian, which is one of the ones I've been super excited about. So there was my Star Wars adventure. Last minute click to get the Remnant Stormtrooper heading my way.
Is it? I haven't really seen that one. Is it dirty? Is it depressed?
It's dirty. It's just, you know, what I love about it is, you know, Favreau always talks about, we just dumped out our action figures and played, basically. I had my original Stormtrooper, whose thumb eventually fell off, the original Kenner, so he couldn't hold his blaster anymore. Right. A kind of pacifism. But I remember looking around at different places we were going to live, because my family moved around a lot, and sometimes I would bring that Stormtrooper and like put him on a mantle or in the corner of a bedroom to see if he was a good fit for the house. Like, I had that Stormtrooper for so long. I still have him, and he's so dirty. He's so filthy. So when I saw like the Remnant Stormtrooper, it was like, my action figure is official now, because that action figure of mine from, you know, way back in the day is a Remnant Stormtrooper. And now I get the new fancy one, the fancy dirty Stormtrooper.
I love little traditions like that too. Anytime I get a new move to a new house or get a new sound system of some sort or an MP3 player, I put on a Beatles song. Just to like, all right, it sounds good. We're good to go. So Remnant Stormtrooper for you, Beatles song for me.
Excellent. So that was my Star Wars adventure. Did you have any Star Wars adventures?
I'm like you. I did not have a lot this week. There's a lot going on. Obviously, we're all feeling that in on many, many sides. Some things good, some things horrible, some things just depressingly in the middle, right? But I did, you know what you need, Joseph? You need to launch a Twitch channel where you do a figure unboxing every week, and then you'll have to buy figures, right?
Oh yeah, and I'll have to open them too. I'm gonna do it, on an unboxing video of like, watch me not open this action figure.
Watch me almost do it. So I do that trick building show on my Twitch channel and build the Star Wars Lego sets. And I've run out of mid-sized sets to build. The only ones I have left are, I'm very fortunate to have some bigger sets, the Death Star, Cloud City. I can't. I have no room. I can't even build them. I can't store them. We've reached the breaking point. Made one of those inside trips to Target, which Grace and I have been doing a little bit more, you know, masking up and being a little more comfortable out there, which is dangerous for the pocketbook. Saved a lot of money being locked in my room. And I went and I've been eyeing that Mustafar dual set, the Lego set, and finally did the old, you know what? I need to brick build. This is for work, and maybe I'll make my money back. So I bought it and I built it yesterday, and it was a great little set. It's got moving pieces, and you got your choices. These modern Lego sets, back in my day, we had one face. Now you can switch. So you can have Obi-Wan being like kind of grimacy, or Obi-Wan screaming, and same with Anakin. So fun thing. And I love the minifigs. I love Lego sets. I've been a collector since the early 80s, but those minifigs truly are fun. So I have a bag of Star Wars minifigs growing. I don't know what to do with them, but I have it.
are Obi-Wan and Anakin dirty?
Not dirty enough. I'll tell you what, okay. I want to smudges. Anakin does have the glove on, which is nice. It's a little detail. And then you have one of the little movable pieces is that a droid. I don't know the name of him off the top of my head, with that Anakin jumps on. That's like,
the lava collection droid, I think.
Yeah. With the little hands. And so it's one of the little details of the set I love. So anyways, that's a Star Wars adventure. Justifying money purchases for Star Wars.
Welcome to our new podcast, Justifying Purchases.
So that was that. So a quiet week, well, Star Wars-wise for you and I. But there is a lot of news. Actually, I'll say this. I sat down to do the news as I do every Sunday, and I was watching the baseball playoff game that was going on Sunday night, putting the news together, and I thought, I don't know. We got the Mando trailer coming Monday night. There's probably not a lot of news. And there not only was news, but there's some big, juicy discussion points in this. So
yeah,
if you're ready, we'll dive in. Let's dive into the juiciness. This is the headline, a Mando movie, ? Well, not quite yet. Plus, season 3 is on schedule. A lot packed into this story. Favreau and Pascal, Pedro Pascal and Jon Favreau, were interviewed by Variety ahead of season 2, and many clickbait headlines, which, look, we understand clickbait headlines. We understand. Get the attention. Get your clicks. We want downloads too, my friends. But a lot of headlines have emerged hinting that a Mandalorian movie could come out of this series. But really, not so fast. Favreau said he is in no rush in pushing the story beyond the streaming service. Pedro Pascal would love it, but has heard no plans. So from there, Joseph, let's dive into some specifics, because I think interesting conversation to be had here about that idea. Johnny Favreau said this. Allow me, if you all will, to read this longer quote. I learned a lot from my experience over at Marvel, where it was very organic, how it would evolve. You're paying attention to a larger story arcs and characters that could come together, but also smaller stories of individual characters that could go off on their own thing. The key here is to keep maintaining the quality and never scaling to the point that we're losing sight of what's important to us and what people like about the show. He also added he's excited to see where the story leads us and have that flexibility. So let's start there, Joseph. That's some big stuff about the organic flow of storytelling. Maybe a comment on some planning in pencil or having the overall picture, but kind of seeing where it goes. And something like that could lead to a movie. What do you think about Johnny Favs and all the things he's saying here?
Yeah, I love a couple of things that he is saying. I love that he is making this distinction between you're paying attention to larger story arcs and stories of individual characters. I mean, so much what he's saying is really about that organic of like, yeah, we're not just going like, hey, we got to hit a movie. So which character should be the movie? And we got to hit it by this quarter. So let's go. Everything he's saying is like, hey, it flows from the story. And I like that he's making this specific distinction between like, yeah, it could go that this would grow into some big story. Maybe there's a, Bounty Hunter Guild war, and that's what it's about. Or maybe it's just like, this one bounty hunter we met, you know what? Maybe just Greef Karga goes home to wherever his home planet is, and we just follow Greef Karga around. It's about that character. And I like that he is as one of the main creators with Dave Filoni, that he is starting from that point of like, it could go off in these different directions and not just in terms of what the story is, but what kind of story. And that's really interesting to me.
Yeah. And look, there's, especially this week, there's some rumors of spinoff shows. One of which was, as of a year and a half ago, was not just a rumor. It was something that was in development around town. We are hearing that one there. But, a lot changes. And there's this idea here that Favreau, in the Variety article that they write, Favreau did allow that the faster metabolism of TV production meant Lucasfilm can be more responsive to audience sentiment about the show. And, quote, we could start to expand what we're doing and our ambitions about the about what characters we want to follow, which backs up a little what you're saying there about, you know, we want more Greef Karga, we'll get more Greef Karga or something like that. Now, it isn't necessarily that it's going to be like American Idol where we get to vote at the end of every episode about more characters, but that's interesting stuff there too, that this could go a lot of ways if they want, and that they're not forced. I love what you're saying too, Joseph. There's no need right now. There's no mandate, 6 seasons in a movie. There's none of that, which is a fun nod to a Community. But I like that they could just see where it goes. That's what I want in my Star Wars.
Yeah. And I think that's a thing that happens just creatively, really organically. Again, I'm going to say the word organic like 72 times this episode of the podcast, I promise you, because it's so much. It's the distinction. A script I worked on for a movie in the last couple of years, it was just like it involved a family. And for some reason, the mother just came to life. Like, I didn't really plan it. It's not in my outline. The mother just became like, I love this character. She's so cool. And then when I was shopping it around and some people were interested in it, they're like, we love this. But you know what? The mother is the star. Can you give us more of the mother? Like, there was nothing. And I think that just happens in scripts, too, of like, I think, you know, Favreau and Filoni might be just sitting down to go like, Mando needs to bump into this character on this planet to serve this function. But something about that character clicks and just comes to life. And I think that's the kind of thing that he's talking about. I don't think he's talking about like, yeah, well, you know, we've been looking at the social media data.
Yes.
And there are more hashtags, you know, for the armorer. So whether or not we have any ideas, the armorer is getting a show. No, nothing against the armorer. I love the armorer. But you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, no, I think it's important to note in this day and age, and I'm not I don't want to be, you know, Eastwood on my porch in Torino here. Just like, I think sometimes there is that thought of, making a not loud enough ruckus that you get away. And sometimes it does work. Sometimes you get an animated movie character redesigned. All right. Sometimes it does work.
The Sonic rule.
Yes. And I don't think that's inherently a bad thing, by the way. I get it. I really do get it. And speaking out is about what you want as a fan is what we do here for us every week. Every time I say the name Ray Sloan, it's because I want more Ray Sloan, you know.
Yeah.
So we're there too on that. But yeah, it's the, you know, where these and where the actors, once an actor gets into a role, you know, chapter 5000 of Ken mentions Game of Thrones. I'm reading that behind the scenes book, Fire Cannot Kill a Dragon. And it's amazing. And I know a lot about the making of that show. There's some things I'm learning of like, wow, that was determined on the set. And wow, a performer came in and said, this isn't working for me. Can we go this direction? Or demanded of Dan and Dave, I want to go this direction. And they went, well, that sounds like a great idea. And that's just part of the process. And I know Johnny Favs, and I don't mean any disrespect, I love Favreau. I know they're feeling that, and he's an actor himself by trade. So I that excites me, Joseph, of that stuff could just organically flow out. There's that word again. And what do you think? Oh, I'll throw it. Uncle Bob Iger said in February on one of the calls, one of the business calls, the possibility of infusing the show with more characters and the possibility of taking these characters in their own direction in terms of the series exists. He's kind of saying that out there. This could very well be spinoffs, but I think with the books and comics, this could be more about a Mandoverse. And I want to kind of go there with you, Joseph. What do you think about a Mandoverse? That could very well lead to a movie, whether that movie's on the big screen or a streaming service, a 2-hour block of storytelling, continuous storytelling. What do you think about that kind of emerging? Are you excited by that and all the possibilities?
Yeah. I'm very intrigued by whatever a Mandoverse might be, if it's movies, books, comics. You know, with the movie discussion, we should be mindful of Disney just made an announcement, I think last week, 2 weeks, about like, we're putting more of our effort into streaming because right now that's where it is, because we don't know, you know, when theaters are going to be open to a level where they're profitable again. Mm-hmm. When we get excited about movies, it might just be like, it's a movie, but it's just the 2-hour special of Mandalorian, but you're still going to be streaming on your couch. Like, so there's all that to keep in mind. In terms of like the Mandoverse with books and comics and how much it might expand, I'm excited for it because I like the content so far. I like the storytelling. I trust the creators involved. They've brought in other creators that I'm excited about, you know. So, you know, here's a Mando series that's Rick Famuyiwa gets to follow his bliss. Maybe it's the Jawas. I don't know. I don't care because I'm interested in what he has to say. But I am also interested in what it does to the style. Like, this goes to me for the Star Wars romance versus realism. like we talked about on that main show or the deep dive show a little while ago, of like right now the Mandalorian is, it's defining itself by doing tip of the iceberg storytelling. It's defining itself by the mood of this mysterious Mando that you're ever gonna, that you're only ever gonna know so much. It is doing that classic original trilogy kind of storytelling of like, you know, hey, tracking fobs, they're just a thing in the galaxy and the characters know how they work and there's no reason for us to turn to the camera and explain them to you. Baby Yoda ended up on Arvala 7 somehow, but that's not interesting to the story or important to it right now, so we're not going to tell you how he ended up there. The more you expand, the more romance becomes realism as you fill in all of the questions with potential details and answers. And I wonder what that's going to do to people's reaction to The Mandalorian that has defined itself by it feels fresh because it's back to that mysterious, you don't know all the answers kind of Star Wars feel.
Yeah, and it's weird to, as you're describing that, you know, it's like my gut reaction is as this grows, even just the show in terms of more seasons, I think we've mentioned this before of like, how does it connect with the larger story in the larger galaxy? You know, I still contend that if Moff Gideon is too big and too powerful, at least some message would get to Leia and Mon Mothma at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want that. I want those kind of connections. But then does, how much does that change what's working for the show? And Favreau is talking about some of these quotes here about, you know, never losing sight of what's important to us and what people like about the show. And I know a lot of people do love that this is its own, quote unquote, own thing. So as it spins out, I don't know, you know, we keep making the spinoff and the Frasier jokes and whatever you want to you make there. But, you know, Greef Karga sitting across from, you know, Genevieve O'Reilly's Mon Mothma is something I'd love. But is that Mando and everything, the bigger kind of questions? I don't know. And that's the only thing I don't know if I want this. I don't have trepidation over it, but just like, can they maintain what they're doing? Which is, as Favreau says, we're not Star Wars. We're over here in the playground.
Yep. And he's, yeah.
No, go. And would it grow too big, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's what's fascinating about this storytelling is you look at just this one Mandalorian who's got his own adventure in his own life. And it really feels like, yep, we're just over in the corner doing our cool. You know, it's almost like the first season of Mandalorian is like that garage band album that happened to blow up and become the biggest album ever. And that garage band album is sincerely about, you know, not being able to move out of your hometown and the first time you fell in love. And then the second album is like, you know, 3 years later, and it's about like, we live in mansions. How do we have, you know, sincerity to our lives? It, you know, and there's that big shift that a lot of, you know, bands wrestle with that difficult second album, because it's that, you know, they've stepped into a larger world. And it's not a one-to-one comparison, because obviously this is being made by, you know, Mandalorian season one is made by, you know, one of the largest entertainment conglomerations that's ever existed, by one of the most successful filmmakers of our generation in Johnny Favs. But it's interesting to me that the show dances on that edge of, we're a hip little indie thing if we just follow Mandalorian and his bounty hunter friends. But it's so close to, yeah, but if you're looking for, you know, Baby Yoda's species, you could meet Ahsoka. You could meet Luke Skywalker. If Moff Gideon wants this baby for like force powers, that's really dancing into, well, why doesn't that start becoming the story of how the First Order came about? Why doesn't that become that Moff Gideon is actually pals with, you know, some Sith Eternal and knows about Exegol? And like, it's fascinating that it's so small, but the storytelling that it's doing, you could see how it could so easily hook into huge storytelling in Star Wars.
I mean, very easily. And yeah, and yeah, your band comparisons are absolutely right. You know, as a lifelong Sarah McLachlan fan who wasn't sure about Lilith Fair, you know, like, though I did love that thing. So yeah, that's great. That's great stuff there. And specifically, just I think, you know, I never want to ask too leading of questions here for the discussions, but I mean, you and I would probably be safe to say we'd be excited for a Mando movie down the line, whatever that may be.
Absolutely. I am excited for a Mando movie with the caveat that if the business, the movie business industry manages to sort of emerge from the pandemic in the general shape that we've known before, where there are still, you know, movie theaters and we go out to movies, there is a part of me that wants the next on-screen Star Wars film to be its own thing. Like, I'm not against a Mando movie, but if they scrapped the Taika Waititi movie and just went all in on Mandalorian, I think I'd be concerned about that, because I think I want something really bold, really new, that really reclaims the silver screen in its own way. Like, I still think they should do something like the Jedi Sith War, and just something really bold and really re-owning the silver screen.
You got go picture for me there. Yeah, and as a side note, season 3's production is said to be on schedule, and a large part of that is due to the volume. And final thoughts here on the movie Mandalorian, if it goes to the big screen, the silver screen, as you say there, I can't imagine. I have a love like relationship with the volume. I can't wait for it to just keep getting bigger and better and bigger and better. But I can't imagine a movie, they wouldn't do it right now, but in 5 years it would look different. But, you know, a movie done on the volume, I don't know. I emotionally, I'd have to kind of get to a spot to accept that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't care if it looks good, but I feel like, yeah, maybe they need a bigger volume.
Yes, a bigger volume. Get bigger volume. We'll keep you updated on all of that. We're getting ready for Mandalorian. Man, we are inside 2 weeks to the Mando season 2. That's exciting. I love knowing the new Star Wars is on our way. And speaking of new programming here, we're all going to be watching the Lego Holiday Special on November 17th on Disney Plus. That's right. We are all going to be watching. This is going to be fun. And they announced that 3 more of the main Star Wars cast will be voices on the show, voicing their characters. That's how that works. Billy Dee Williams, Kelly Marie Tran, and Anthony Daniels are all part of the voice cast, which includes, for right now, I'm sure there's more, Matt Lanter, James Arnold Taylor, Dee Bradley Baker, and Tom Kane as Yoda. Executive producer James Waugh said this to Entertainment Weekly about Rose Tico. Rose's role in this is that she really takes charge. She basically saves the day in many ways. We wanted to make sure we got a lot of Kelly in, as Rose was going to be an essential part of whatever the Resistance Heroes' future it's going to be after episode 9, and she was a blast to work with. Now, no doubt, Joseph, we would have loved to see more of Kelly Marie Tran as Rose Tico in episode 9. We didn't get it, but what do you think about this inclusion of her in this special? Does that mean a Lego special, more of a comedy piece? It's going to be a lot of fun. Is this a good start for you?
Yeah, I think this is a good start of justice for Rose. As we've talked about a lot, I would have loved more Rose in episode 9. Or a little bit more clear, big hero moment for her to celebrate the character and the character's perspective. But I really like what James Waugh is saying in this quote that, you know, kind of storytelling wise, Story Group obviously having some influence on what this Lego story would be. It's canon adjacent, but it does seem like it's really trying to, like all the Lego stuff has been of like, yeah, there'll be a disco at Cloud City. But other than that, Lando's pretty true to who Lando is, right? In these kind of Lego shows. So I think being true to the characters and saying, well, Rose does seem like the character who would say, I've got a lot of opinions about how we move forward now. You know, we've been in this resistance to save the galaxy, but now that we kind of have, what's next? And really step into a leadership role. Mm-hmm. That's really, really cool for the character. And I think it's cool because, as you were saying, the Lego stuff is comedic. Kelly Marie Tran has experience as doing comedy acting as a comedy person. She's, I think, got great comedy chops with her delivery in The Last Jedi for her comedy moment. So I'm excited to see her be able to flex those chops. And then in the kind of bigger meta thing, it's great to see Kelly Marie Tran saying, I still want to be involved. I'm happy to be involved.
That was I'm so glad you brought that up. That was my biggest excitement is, you know, we saw how long it took Ahmed Best to just kind of be like, yeah, I'm ready to come back to do Star Wars. And granted, he did start voicing Jar Jar in Clone Wars, but even that took some time. He wasn't ready. He said he's not ready. And you and I have discussed Phil Lamar stepping in for a little bit. for Kelly Marie Tran to be like, nope, I'm here. I love this character. And yeah, glad to do it. That's, you know, maybe in her quiet time, she thought, do I want to do this? But she chose yes. And that's exciting for me. I totally think it's a great point, Joseph. Regarding Rey, Wah added, what is the writers were thinking, you know, what is Rey missing right now? She is so focused on the burden of being the only Jedi in this new era and the duty of potentially passing on that knowledge. She's missing the point that there still needs to be time to be with your friends and the family you've made. That's a pretty, I don't know, that's a holiday story to me. That sounds like a holiday, lesson to be learned there. Again, you mentioned this is a canon adjacent. We're approaching this with a spirit of fun. I think it's going to, be silly. But what do you think about this just general idea for Rey and at this and this part of the story there in terms of perhaps going forward, whether or not we'll ever see other Rey material? What do you think about that?
I think it's great. You and I did an episode that was, the Rebellion, not Rebellion, Republic Reborn, talking about where might the characters go if there is future storytelling or just imagining putting ourselves in the shoes of those characters, knowing their triumphs, knowing their tragedies, what would they be doing? And I think we talked about something similar to this, which makes me really excited that Rey, along this whole journey, has wanted belonging. She's wanted, a family, and she has that now, but she's also truly accepted the lightsaber. She's accepted the mantle of the Jedi. So I think this is great that she would be torn between those things. It makes sense for her character that she would say, I am now the last Jedi. I am the next generation. That's a responsibility and I got to take it seriously. But also I could just kick back and spend time with my friends. To be pushed and pulled between those things is not only just a perfect, as you were saying, holiday thing to just highlight the real world thing where we're all caught up in our own lives, but then we also want to spend time with our community. And that's, in a lot of ways what holidays are about, a reminder to spend time with the people closest to you. So I think it's great for holiday. I think it's great for Rey, and to take it even a step farther into Star Wars nerdery, I think it's some great Star Wars poetry because this is Luke stuff, right? This is Luke going, I made all these mistakes as I grew to become a Jedi. Yoda really told me very clearly, this is not about adventure and excitement. This is about responsibility. This takes the most serious mind, the best commitment. So I'm going to get to it. I'm going to be serious. I'm going to be committed. And Luke kind of gave some of that, passed some of that on to Rey, saying, but the Jedi did fail. They made a lot of mistakes and you got to be really careful. You got to be a real person. You can't be a legend. So imagining all of that kind of stuff going through Rey's head and going on a similar journey to Luke, but maybe a better one this time where her friends are like, that's great that you found somebody who needed to be trained. That's great that you found a dangerous force artifact, but also we're eating dinner with the Wookiees in the trees. So put the lightsaber down and have some fun with us. The reason you're fighting your friends.
Yeah. This highlights to me the most important sequence in Star Wars is Dexter's Diner because Obi-Wan knows there's a lot going on in the galaxy, but go get a space omelet with your friend Dex and take some time for yourself there. This is kind of a Jedi mental health issue. And I love that you brought up the Luke stuff because in the story we know right now, we don't know all the details, but he does pick up and go start searching the galaxy for clues. And I think it's great stuff about learning. All right, I'm a Jedi now, like my father before me. What does that mean? I got to go figure that out for myself, as well as, pick up the compass, all those kind of things, those canon things and plot things. But emotionally, just Luke kind of, all right, the war's over. I'm a Jedi. Roll up my sleeves. We got to carry on. We all do that in the real world. You and I are kind of similar in this kind of field where we're going 7 days a week. You're writing, you're working, you're recording. And we have to remind ourselves, tonight, me and my wife are going to have some cheese toast from the smokehouse and watch a movie and turn off our brains. And I, a friend of mine, an actor, Scott Antonucci, he just launched his YouTube channel. He did a video. He just did it today. And we were talking about it. He's like, get out of LA, turn off your mind and release yourself of that feeling of, oh God, I'm taking a moment and therefore I'm not working. I think all that can apply into this silly Lego holiday starting point for Rey.
Yeah.
Take a moment.
Yeah, it's so great because so much about the sequel trilogy has been you got to learn from the past, both the triumphs and the tragedies. And it's great to see right away, like, this pressure to be like, Rey, don't make Luke's mistake, because, you know, Luke wasn't around, which made him turn into a much more of a legend, which he ended up resenting, right? Because if he was like, hey, I'm going to come to the meetings about setting up the New Republic, I'm right here with Leia. Look, yeah, I have a lightsaber, but I'm not some mystery. Like, he turned himself into a mystery, you know? So it's great to see that not happening to Rey.
I love that idea. Just, he went to the hills and made it easier for me. Let me tell you the tale of Luke Skywalker. This is going to be fun. Any other thoughts, you know, looking at this holiday special, the Lego, and Wah talks about it in this interview, this, you know, the Lego sense of humor is always there. You know, you and Jennifer in the past have always talked about the Freemaker adventures. Is there any kind of fun little thing you might still want that hasn't been announced for this holiday
special?
Yeah,
I know they've hinted at having actual connections or perhaps characters from the original holiday special. I'm really thinking we're going to see Akmena. I would love Krellman. I want to see a Lego pour alcohol into the hole, which is just like be such great irony for a Lego that they normally have the little, you know, the thing on the top of their head. So if he had nothing on his head, nothing to plug in, just a place to pour the booze.
Which also means we could be one step closer to getting a Lego minifig of B. Arthur and Harvey Korman. And
I would buy that Lego set for sure. One other thing that this just reading about this drove home of, like, we can all make our life day jokes and the Wookiees and that, but also just to that, it is going to be fun. It is going to be silly because that's what the Lego stuff is. But just that extra emotional punch that Han's life fell apart and Chewie's like, all right, I got you, buddy. And then he's there with Resistance. He's taking Rey on dubious missions to turn Kylo Ren. He's going everywhere. He's doing everything that's asked of him, that all of his buddies would be like, hey, let's go to your place for the holidays. It's extra emotional.
Oh man, I hope we get some itchy and lumpy. We'll see. This is going to be a lot of fun. November 17th, we, of course, will be covering it here on Force Center. All right, final story of the day. This is, here you go. Luke Skywalker's death in Episode 8 was on the table prior to 2012. This kind of emerged from Twitter. This is from Pablo Hidalgo's new book, Star Wars Fascinating Facts. It was quietly released on October 13th. You and I we saw the book was out and we didn't really talk about it. I didn't even know the release date. It's already in our laps. We're going to get some copies ourselves and dive in. But a Twitter user named Oozer, the news source these days. Twitter user Oozer posted a pic on page 140 of the book, and it made quite the kerfuffle. Hidalgo wrote that George Lucas's treatments for 7, 8, 9 had Luke Skywalker dying in episode 8 as well, and that this was long before the development of Last Jedi. Now, we'll start here. It should be noted it's unclear which part of the development this was. There's a Mark Hamill interview out there of him saying, oh, George said episode 9 and this and that. And you and I, the starting point for this conversation, Joseph, is you and I are very aware, as are most Star Wars fans, George Lucas, his own personal timeline is often a little wonky.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. In fact, there was an article from 2012 that I believe the great Phil Sostak retweeted and shared on Twitter recently. That's, it's from like 2012, right after the sale, going through all the different things that Lucas had said about, is it 9 movies? Is it 12 movies? Is he going to do all 9? No, he's not. You know, yes, he is. This is what it's about, and how much it's changed over the years. So it's right there on StarWars.com from actual Star Wars historians that Lucas's plans changed a lot.
A lot indeed. Additionally, Hidalgo wrote, and this was tweeted, I think I saw this in our Discord. Once again, our Force Center Patreon Discord, a great source of information and news for us here. He also wrote that there had been previously, and this had been previously revealed, kind of like what you were mentioning here with some of the Sostak stuff, that Luke would be a Colonel Kurtz type of character, and the character that would become Rey was like Willard going up river to seek him out. This is, of course, like Apocalypse Now, which, by the way, George wanted to do. That was the movie he was supposed to do next after Star Wars. So overall, putting this all on the table, Joseph, what are our raw reactions? And then what are our thoughtful, more measured reactions to this?
Oh, man, I think my raw and my thoughtful reaction might be pretty close to the same. My knee jerk reaction, just for myself as a fan, is I'm always really curious what was and was not in these great mysterious Lucas treatments. So it's fun anytime that there's clarification on what was or was not in those treatments. That's just my first level. That's cool to hear. I'm always happy to hear it. My next reaction, in linear fashion, maybe a little bit more on the raw side of, I think Pablo Hidalgo is so great. He has such great wisdom and love, but also snark. And there is this, like, there's no way that Mr. Hidalgo did not know that he was luring meat into the shark tank of the Star Wars conversation, right? It's really fun to share. It is a truly interesting fact. And, you know, I don't have the book. Maybe there's some greater context that once I read, I'll be like, oh, that's why that's there. But it is, you know, he's got a sense of whimsy. He's got a little bit of that sense of play about this conversation. Yeah. So there's that element too. One other level of reaction, and then I will shut up because I want to hear your reactions. I also just was not even remotely surprised by it as a fact. I know for a lot of people, there's so much consternation still about The Last Jedi and the way Luke was portrayed, and then Luke's passing is all tied into some of the specific consternation. But to me, Luke passing was an emotional roller coaster as I watched the film, but it ultimately wasn't surprising. And it is not even remotely surprising to me that George Lucas would tell this story that a mentor must pass on in order for the new generation to emerge. George Lucas decided during the shooting of A New Hope to have Obi-Wan Kenobi pass into the Force because he didn't want that mentor just standing around doing nothing. A lot of the ideas of the Force and the philosophy that George Lucas built the Force from is all about the cyclical nature of things and that the old must give way to the new. So it's a huge part of the hero's myth that the mentor passes on. So in some ways, this is really shocking and cool. In other ways, this is about the most straightforward George Lucas likes traditional myths piece of information one could imagine.
Yeah, that's right there with you. And on that raw reaction of, I'm not going to lie, I had a little bit of a looking at this and going, yeah, that makes sense. You can't tell me. And I'm dying. I want to know every word in the official submitted purchased treatments of George Lucas. I would love to get my hands on those. Who wouldn't? Not for a case of what if, but just of, man, what was in his mind and what was similar and what would match up? And because it's the emotional connections we love, and a lot of those wouldn't be surprising. But just, you can't tell me that the guy who made the prequels would not do a new series of movies and say, yeah, it's important that the current generation passes everything on to the next generation and that I tell a different story. There's no surprise there. Like you said, there's just no surprise that would come from George Lucas.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe the bone of contention for some fans is, yeah, but would it have come in 7, 8, or 9? And that's the thing. To me, that's a little bit more, I don't know, in the weeds in a way that isn't emotionally important to me. And I think the great mystery to me of the Lucas treatments is, I suspect from little things that have, the little crumbs we've gotten, I suspect that Lucas's treatments are either just a lot of different roads to get to the same destinations that we got to anyway, which is like an example of this one. Or there was that one quote where Lucas said, well, my trilogy was just going to, they were going to go inside the Force and we were going to learn about the midichlorians and the wills. And it was going to be all Force priestesses and, you know, strange cosmic virgences, you know? So that's the thing that I'm most interested, honestly, is that something he said afterwards, after reflection, after he saw Force Awakens and got upset because he didn't think there was enough new, and he, you know, went out and said, like, yeah, it was gonna be microscopic. You know, the main characters are gonna be midichlorians. Did he say that as a reaction, or is that in the original treatment? That's one of the most fascinating things to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you gotta follow George's comments through the years. A lot of them changed. A lot of them are very consistent. And we're not saying he's wishy-washy or anything. He's just a creator. And he's kind of going to some stuff we were talking about Favreau earlier. And the organic, there's that word. He just wants to see it flow. But it does stay true to that myth idea. And, you know, in terms of, I always, not always, I can't say that. That's not true. But this Colonel Kurtz type of approach and what we got with Luke, the grumpy man on the island, even though you and I were just talking about, hey, you know, hopefully Rey doesn't, you know, follow that path, goes a different direction and connects with her friends and doesn't forget a little bit of pleasure with the business. I just still think that's just way more powerful choice than fade in episode 7. There's Luke with a lightsaber going, let's go get him. Like, I love that we got the crazy bearded wizard that had some issues. Just great tension in that for this story. And I like that George, who wanted to do Apocalypse Now, would think the same thing. Or, you know, not saying I'm thinking the same thing as George, but just that he'd be in line with that.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I think that's the other fascinating thing that I was thinking about with these treatments is you can't just look at it as, like, what was George Lucas's master plan? Because it has changed over time, right? So I think about it from, as a thought experiment, of, where was Lucas in 2011, 2012 when he sat down to write this? By all accounts, knowing that he was creating these treatments as a package of selling his company. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can imagine Lucas being like, yeah, no, I know everybody thinks that I was Luke. I was, you know, I wasn't on Tatooine. I was in Modesto. You know, I was not racing my T-16. Mm-hmm. I was racing, you know, my car and I was staring off in the single sunset, not the twin sunsets. And now here I am much later, having gone through all of this and am a little jaded by it, you know, that is a part of what his storytelling is. And that if he's sitting down to write these treatments, when he knows he's selling his, you know, his myth and passing it on to the next generation, that's going to be on his mind, right? The passing to a next generation. And what does he feel about it? And how much did Luke represent that in his treatment?
Absolutely. George going away to an island saying, please don't bother me. It makes some sense.
Yeah.
It makes some sense. There you go. There's our raw reactions and our more thoughtful, measured reactions, the Force Center way here. We're going to get our hands on this book and we'll see. Maybe there'll be some other facts we can have fun with. And I'm like you, those great what ifs, Joseph. That's why the art of books are some of my favorites. Pablo's got a way about him. And I think some of this might be him poking back. I think the visual dictionary for episode 9, he was trying to get out ahead of some of the questions he knew were going to be asked. See, oh, even the Last Jedi one you and I've talked about, he's got the answer for the bombs. And the gravity before the movie even comes out, he can anticipate. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been in those forums since the 90s. He knows how it goes. So this is a book that we didn't talk about before, but I think it's going to be an interesting pickup there. So that is our look at Star Wars news. As always, breaking news will happen right after we release these episodes. But at least this time, we knew that a Mando sneak peek was on the way. So hope you all enjoyed listening to that. Before we take a quick break and come back with your questions, we want to do our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have today?
Today we have Master and Apprentice by Claudia Gray. It is one of my favorites. It has a lot to do with prophecy. And for our deep dive episode this week, we are going to be talking about the prophecy of the chosen one. So Master and Apprentice seem like a good one to recommend today.
Absolutely is. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. We are going to reset. On the other side, we've got your Star Wars questions. This is Force Center.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JenniLanda.com, that's JENILANDA.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4 Center fans, don't forget 4 Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4 Center on YouTube. Check it out. Welcome back to Force Center. Ken Knapsack and Joseph Scrimshaw are here. We looked at the news. Now it's time for those cues. Oh, boy, Joseph, what's wrong with me today?
I really like that the first question today came from you about yourself. Let's try to answer that. What's wrong with Ken? I say nothing. Nothing. 2020 is wrong with Ken, if anything. But 2020 is wrong with all of us. Let's dive into this. We got questions from Twitter and from our patrons on Patreon, as always. From Twitter, we hear from Darth Ephra. Darth says, if you had to introduce a child to Star Wars, would you do it in release order, chronologically, with the animation department? I imagine with the animation department means, I imagine Darth Ephra means watching all the animation as well. I assume that the entire animation department of Lucasfilm is not available to sit around and watch all of Star Wars with me and my imaginary children. But I'd be open to that, too. So, Ken, how do you come down on this if you were introducing a child, maybe your own, maybe somebody else's child to Star Wars? How would you do it?
Yeah, at this point, it would be someone else's or a chihuahua or the sea otter Grace and I adopted over the weekend from a marine rescue.
Ooh, did you get a stuffed animal?
No. Not yet. I got a certificate. I've even got him on live. Now, sorry, folks. This is I'm watching the baby sea otter Joey from Marine Mammal Rescue Center live right now on YouTube. We are one of the many quote unquote adoptive parents of this thing. We love otters. I want a stuffed otter.
No, I asked because one of my wife's birthday presents to me was the otter adoption that came with the stuffed otter is great.
Can we start Otter Center? Because those are some of my favorite creatures on this planet. Darth Ephra's question, it's interesting because, when you really stop and think about it, this age-old question is now just has many, many possible answers. I've always answered the release order, like see it as we all saw it. But I think you also have to factor in the age and also the Star Wars, the Galaxy of Adventure shorts on Star Wars Kids. If you're two, three, four, I don't know, when's too soon to show kids Star Wars? I think those are great because here's my thing. If you're three or four and I put you down and you probably know how to use an iPhone better than me now at three, but and you watch these little YouTube shorts and you're pulled in and you start falling in love with Star Wars, you're not really going to remember it clearly. I'm going from, when I was six, I thought Battlestar Galactica and Star Wars were the same thing. I really was looking for Starbuck and an X-Wing. I didn't know. Throwing Buck Rogers, on TV, and I'm looking for Erin Gray. I thought she was Leia for like a year of my life until I finally, seven, eight, saw these movies. So I think it all flows in one. I think you could start there. You could really start there and just these little bite-sized shorts that just kind of get the mood and feel of Star Wars out there for you to connect to. And if the kid gets a little older and wants to watch more, I would still go release order. And I guess that would include the animated series. It's just daunting to think, all right, you're seven now. You like Star Wars? Yes, daddy. All right. Here's episode one. You're going to watch all of Clone Wars. I want notes.
All of Rebels.
I want notes.
Right?
All of Rebels. Get to Rebels. So yes. That's my answer. There you go.
Tom. Yeah. Yeah. I think that I would do the machete order. My knee-jerk reaction is always just the release order, because then you're taking a child not just through the story of Star Wars, but you're taking it through the meta story of how the world experienced them and how technology changed and how times changed and how, stories kind of start one place and they fly backward into the future and backward into the past and forward into the future and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing I'm thinking about. I do not have children. Got nephews and nieces, and one of my nephews in particular went through something that I've heard other parents talk about, which is the Revenge of the Sith problem. Like, Star Wars is pretty PG to PG-13 throughout its run. I mean, literally, but some scary things are manageable. But then really Revenge of the Sith, especially if a kid is growing up kind of identifying with Anakin, regardless of gender, if you're kind of seeing yourself as a young person traveling this path, and then you get to, whoa, boy, Anakin did what? It can be troubling. Yeah. So I think I would construct the viewing order to put off Revenge of the Sith for as long as possible. So, gotcha. You can start with Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, then you jump back to the entire original trilogy, and then you got to watch all of Clone Wars. And then finally you can get to Revenge of the Sith. So, if you start a kid, five or six, Phantom Menace is fun. This is great. All that business. It's the other way around. You watch. Am I getting the machete order wrong?
Is it? Do you skip one? I think in one
that's
of the
BS.
I think that
I,
one
obviously I for me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, you don't skip one. What are you? What are you crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm typing that up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, because it's designed to preserve the surprise, right?
One. Yes, you skip one. So you go 4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. So yeah, I do 4, 5, then 1, 2, all of I'm confusing myself. I would confuse the child. You know what? Release order. How about that?
All that back.
Release order, but with the entire Clone Wars to pad out until Revenge of the Sith.
Love that. This fictional Scrimshaw Jr. Yeah. They've got a lot.
Yeah, Darth Ephra, thank you for talking me through that. So I will be far more ready for this theoretical child who's going to be watching Star Wars with me until they are 28. Move on to a question from Rick Villanueva. Rick says, what real world song would you put in any of the Star Wars films and in what scene? I say put the Benny Hill theme in when Han chases the stormtrooper, only to find the whole legion around the corner on the Death Star. Great placement for the Benny Hill theme. This is a fun question. We love getting the absurd, fun, silly questions too. Ken, what real world music would you put in Star Wars and where and in what order?
Yeah, right. In what order? So I try to think, you know, do I go some, you know, over the top pop song, you know, a lot of choices, but I decided, you know, I'm going two of my favorite bands and two of their biggest songs, and it would work. First up, I'm going Closing Time from Minnesota's own Semisonic over the Battle of Endor into the end theme. All right. Just having Luke staring out at his father while every new beginning comes from some other beginnings. And it just, it's moving.
Yeah.
It's deep.
So
it's
really finish deep. Your whiskey or beer, Ewoks.
Yes. And then despite it being one of my favorite little sequences in Star Wars with some of my favorite John Williams music, I'm going to take out the Jedi steps and substitute in the Long and Winding Road by the Beatles as Rey goes up the stairs to meet Luke Skywalker.
That is absolutely great. Yeah, I think for myself, I know this probably exists. I probably heard it, but I like the Lady Gaga song, Bad Romance, and that's perfect, I think, for Rey and Ben / Kylo's tortured romance. So I'd put Bad Romance over the Praetorian Guard fight. That'd be fun. I think that one probably exists as a meme. The other one that jumped into my head is the famous I love you, I know scene in the carbon freezing chamber. And as soon as Han says, I know, I will always love you kicks in and plays over the whole carbon freezing scene.
Oh, that works. Yeah.
And then off that, I thought, it'd be fun to do a little twist, and you have I Will Always Love You at the end of Revenge of the Sith, right after Anakin says, I hate you, but you change it to I Will Always Hate You, but it's still sung beautifully. Very, very sad. It goes all the way through the surgery into Darth Vader.
I love that. The drums kick in. Doom, boom, and I will not hit that note.
Exactly.
That's great. I love
a really fun question. Stuff. Great, great answer. Closing Time. I might need to see that one. Move on to our questions from Patreon. Then we always get some juicy essay questions from Patreon, which is great. First one comes from Will Culbertson. Will says, "Do you think the prequel era's Jedi? Do you think the prequel era Jedi's opinions on attachment and loss have been influenced by the fact that their oldest member is a species that has a lifespan of hundreds of years? It seems to me that if all Jedi had your average human lifespan, they might all feel differently than someone who has had hundreds of years to come to terms with the fleeting nature of life." This is a great observation about Yoda's attitude towards the nature of life, the natural passing of organic creatures into the Force. Ken, what do you think about this?
I second what you said. This is a great question. Great thought, Will, about Yoda. You know, we do not believe there's anyone older than him in the order at this time. You know, there was a, you know, maybe Yaddle. I don't know. Maybe that's why she retired early. I don't know. So in a way, and I trust Yoda with this, by the way, but in a way Yoda's setting the tone, right? You know, he's kind of been around the block, and this works for me in two ways. One, with what kind of Will's suggesting here, that yeah, there's a little bit of Yoda going, well, or the other Jedi kind of going, well, yeah, you've loved and lost so many friends or people. Like, of course you're used to this. Of course it's easy for you to say, like, yeah, you'll get over it. You know, I'm paraphrasing what Yoda means, of course. We had that really good discussion on this a while ago in Force Center on a deep dive. But the flip side, I don't know. I look at a little bit of you and I aren't 800 years old, Joseph, but we've been around a lot, and there is value in our own experiences, and some of that includes, hey, I know if you're 30 and you feel depressed or overwhelmed about this one particular thing, you'll get over it if you maybe take these steps. I'm not saying it like casual or cynical of, hey, you'll get over it, but just like, hey, it's possible. You will survive. For me, like one of my first big breakups, that was like, yeah, my God, the world ended. The second, third one was like, hey, I've been through this. I know how to get through it. And I think there's something that I want to say about you, maybe defending Yoda here, of like, he's got the wisdom of, yeah, this attachment, all these kind of things. It could be dangerous. It could be sad. It can be tough, but you can do it. You can get through it. Trust me.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I would love to hear Yoda's advice on breakups in your 20s. It would probably be similar to the advice he gives Anakin. Miss them, do not mourn them, do not. Just get your t-shirts back and go on with your life.
Yoda would say, every beginning's end comes from some
beginning. I think Yoda wrote Closing Time. It all adds up. I love this point. That's such great perspective. That's such great diving into the truth of the characters. It seems like in the Clone Wars, we've been doing the rewatch, you know, a lot of Jedi seem to have managed this, letting go of attachments. And sometimes that means risking a loved one's life. Sometimes that means risking your own life. And it seems like a lot of the Jedi are really into the, no, that is the nature of things, and sacrifice is a part of Jedi life. And, you know, attachment is such a great risk. You can't be too attached, and all sorts of great ideas. But to tie that to Yoda being even better at that because he's old and he's experienced it is great. And it does go to that scene in particular in Revenge of the Sith, where Anakin is clearly in a lot of pain, wrestling with this fear of loss. Yoda knows that's a real danger. It always has been for Anakin. And I think Yoda gives him that very wise, very true advice that this is the nature of things. All things, including people, pass, and you have to find a way to be sad, but also accept that that is the nature of things and rejoice for the time that you had with that person, and rejoice that they have become one with the Force, as Yoda says it. But I always think, even though Yoda's tone is kind and gentle in that scene, miss them, do not mourn them, do not is like a totally missed opportunity for Yoda to remember what it feels like. And this age thing goes to that for me of his, I think his advice is good and well-intentioned. And he's telling Anakin the truth and what Anakin needs to hear, but he's not telling it to him in a way that connects to Anakin because he doesn't remember the pain of his first losses. He doesn't remember what it was like before he, Yoda, mastered, you know, letting go of what you fear to lose. And that this is a really great insight to that. And I think he holds on to it too, because in Empire Strikes Back, he's pretty clear of like, yeah, no, you're that vision's probably true. Your friends probably were captured by Vader and the Emperor, and they're probably being tortured, you know, try to get you to come there, and you shouldn't fall for it. And if they die, you know, they knew what they were doing. This is a sacrifice they're willing to make for the greater good. Don't screw it up. So, like, he's still being a little like, you know, this is awful, but the way of things.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Yeah, a great reminder, too, is if you're in a mentor position or you're, you know, spouting out. And spouting off some great philosophies. There's a lot of great philosophies out there in life, but you know, I think those are at the end of the day just some really neat words and sentences. And you got to remember to the human condition and allow people to be humans, or myriad creatures of the galaxy. Choose one. So I think it's a great looking back at Yoda and a good reminder. And that if he you know, speaking of breakups, like, yeah, you know, I know now it's okay. But back then when I was driving away, listening to Closing Time on my CD player 15 times while crying, you know, that those feelings are real too,
yeah.
You know, and you got to
look. Yeah, and that doesn't help when you tell somebody who just had their first breakup, like, it's going to happen 4 or 5 more times, you know.
Yeah.
Make a mixtape, make a Spotify playlist, you know, it'll be over soon. Like, that is true from a certain point of view, but it's not helpful to that person in that moment, right?
Yeah. Like my dad used to always, if I like dinged myself as a kid or stubbed my toe, he'd be like, does it hurt when you do that? I'd say, yeah. And he'd be like, well, then don't do that. So it was a joke, but also real.
Joke, but you also know? Real. So, yeah. And I don't mean this is an attack on Yoda by any means. I love that the characters can be flawed, and I love that they can struggle, and I love that we see moments where Yoda is so kind and says exactly what a character needs to hear to help them. And then he has other moments where it's like, ooh, that's a 9 out of 10, that advice you gave Yoda, but that last point you missed really matters.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that again, I'm a big proponent of let these characters fail, because that's how we learn things from these stories. And Yoda has some failures, and I think he feels it. That's why he tells Luke, failure is the greatest teacher. Yep. It all works. Great stuff, Will.
Thank you very much, Will. Awesome question. We move on to Jared Bennett for another awesome question. Brace yourself, Ken. Jared says, what would you say are the main thematic arcs throughout the entire Star Wars saga? For me, I can see that love is a main theme in how it is played out from a selfish and controlling perspective all the way to a selfless and sacrificial perspective. Also, what is your favorite love relationship in all of the canon material, movies, TV shows, books, comics, games, etc.? May the Force be with you always. Jared, this is a great question and a really big question. We could easily do an entire deep dive episode on it, and we might. We've done some episodes before kind of collecting what we think are some of the big themes of the Skywalker saga, but I wanted to have a shorter version of our conversation here because it's such a great question. So, Ken, where do you go? What do you respond to on a kind of a deep emotional level as a main thematic arc to the Star Wars saga?
Gosh, this just might be the answer, because I'm running through other, you know, compassion, empathy, engagement, involvement, you know, not just in terms of quote pick it aside, but just like actively involved in the galaxy around you is something that's a big important. There's also you know, George would argue some of the themes are distrust or at least question big organizations that you work with. You know, there's little things there, but all of that does kind of in this general sense pour back into the love bucket. Love and what it means, and I think Jared does a great job of, you know, describing the selfish, the controlling versions of love and what that can do to destroy love for your fellow man, Ewok galaxy, whatever term you want to use there. I think it is much like a great pop song is about love, desire, and the crisis of faith. And it all flows back into those three things for me a lot. I think that could work for me too. Love, desire, and the crisis of faith in Star Wars. Faith being a lot of different things, systems, people, beliefs, actions, yourself. But maybe it's because it's one of those things where I'm seeing it on paper and it's hard to move away from that in my mind.
Yeah.
But all roads lead to a love.
All roads lead to a love. Another great semisonic song, I'm sure. Got to check out the deep cuts. I mean, Jared, this is extremely well written. And I think, you know, attachment being such a central question and the way it's presented in particular in the prequels in the original trilogy, there's a danger to it. If you're controlling like Anakin and your love becomes about your fear of losing who you love and it's selfish. And then, you know, we see, speaking of Yoda and its failures, we see Yoda and Obi-Wan still concerned about that for Luke, but Luke finds all these ways to make attachment and compassion his absolute strength in the whole arc with Vader. So it is really tempting to see that as the main theme. I think for myself, my first theme is going to be contain yourself, Scrimshaw, because this, like I said, could be a long thing. I think what I'm thinking a lot about, and it might just be another way to say love, but I think hope versus fear, those two opposing viewpoints of any situation, and the fact that both those words, those ideas are explicit throughout the saga, that fear is what really, really holds us back, and hope is what really helps us to keep moving forward. And when I look at the Star Wars saga as, it's meant to be didactic. It's meant to help 12-year-olds of all ages step into the galaxy for the first time. A lot of things lead us to fear of, you know, what if I try something and people laugh at me? What if, you know, somebody's trying to take something that I think belongs to me? All those things that can lead us to choices that don't ultimately make us happy because we're coming from a place of fear. Versus you're stepping out into the world and it's not all rosy. It's not just a, you know, happy schmaltzy Disney song world. It is an actually scary, difficult world. But if you have hope, if you have hope that you actually have agency and power and that you can make a difference, then you can move forward, you know. And when I think of hope and fear, it's the dark side and the light. Hope is Qui-Gon saying, I go to the light because it's there and it's right. And I have faith. I have hope. And it's open, it's expansive. In fear, just think about what fear literally does to your body. It's constricting, and it, you know, anger flows from it. And it's the dark side, you know, it's fear. So I think about that a lot, and I wrote down three others and I'm not going to say them. I'm going to contain myself. I'm going to stick to hope and fear.
I'm curious. I love being enlightened by your thoughts here, but I love what you're saying. Hope versus fear. Cause what you're saying, and the concept of fear too, by the way, and I see this, I don't know, this is a personal thing for me. Cause I see some people in my life kind of twist this around where it's not fear of, can you stand up and be strong in a situation? A lot of times it's that fear. We talk about attachment, but just, I'd say the fearful ones in the story are Palpatine and Vader and many in the Empire. You know what I mean? Like, fear of progress, fear of love, quite frankly, and how love could change the galaxy and hope could change the galaxy. But you say hope versus fear. So that just made me think of, one of the arcs, one of the themes is choice and what you do with your choices. You and I often talk about destiny and choices and where it leads you. That's something that works for me as well too. When we said hope versus fear, I think there's a lot of what even what Jared's saying of selfless versus, you know, selfish and controlling versus organic versus the mechanical. You and I always talk different ways to approach it. Hope versus fear and the power of choice, the power of your own choices in your actions.
Yeah. Yeah. And it plays out in so many, you know, different great ways. And I love that the sequel trilogy really, that's what's at stake for a lot of it, is we have to keep hope alive. We have to keep the light alive. We have to keep the belief that we can take responsibility for ourselves, for the galaxy, and we can make a difference. And that's, you know, the arc of keeping that spark of hope alive all the way until the galaxy shows up. And then on the other side of the sequel trilogy, almost everything the villains do is out of almost like pathetic, cowardly fear. Like half of the sequel trilogy, if not more, is just, you know, Snoke as Palpatine's puppet going, I know Luke Skywalker is going to ruin this for me somehow, so I'm just going to chase every shadow, because I just like the movies are motivated by Palpatine's fear of Luke Skywalker, you know. And meanwhile, Luke Skywalker is, you know, having a midlife crisis alone on an island. It's fear, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I want to hear those other threes eventually on a deep.
Yeah. Show. Yeah. I'm just trying to contain myself, because I know I can spin out of control. So I figure, why not create some mystery on what, some of the other thematic arcs might be. Great question, Jared. Great question from Will. Oh no, wait a minute. I want to answer the other part of Jared's question. Ken, do you have a favorite love relationship in all the canon material?
I mean, I gotta kind of say, for me, it's Han and Chewie. You know, that's a great love story. Solo is a great love story. You know, obviously Han and Leia and the kind of the more traditional ones, but just that friendship bond. You talked about it earlier in the holiday special stuff of Chewie's always there, always doing it, and the fact that they're like, you know, in this modern era, even if it's canon adjacent, being like, let's go to your house for Life Day, Chewie. You deserve that. Like, Chewie and Han have that kind of back and forth and loyalty and love and care and concern. And I just love it. I love that one. I love that. I love their
Yeah, it is absolutely beautiful. I think that's a great choice. I was going to say Han and Leia. I think you came up with an even more insightful answer. But, you know, Han and Leia, just for in the original trilogy, establishing the kind of romance in Star Wars that is a little bit more traditional old Hollywood kind of sparks flying romance. And then for expanded stuff, I do really like Kanan and Hera. Karen. And then I also really like Obi-Wan and Satine. That really opens up such interesting things about the character of Obi-Wan. Satine is such a strong character, and there's such great subtleties in how all of that is discussed that opens up really interesting thoughts about the Jedi and about romance and about sacrifice. All sorts of great stuff come out of that Obi-Wan and Satine relationship.
I hope one day we get something on that a little bit more. To toss it back, and not to super extend the conversation, but also thinking Han, Leia, and Ben Solo, and that connection and the idea of love and redemption, forgiveness, trauma, both ways. They weren't great parents. Ben made some mistakes. You know what I mean? And just where it all ends up, you and I love that. The memory scene with Han, but equally as important, maybe not more important, is Leia's, you know, Leia holding on to the end to save her son as well. That's a pretty powerful love relationship.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. No, I mean, that is insanely powerful to say, you know, and it starts with Han's cheek touch in The Force Awakens and goes all the way through to Leia using the last of her strength to reach out to her son. And all they're saying with those things is like, we know you've made some mistakes, son, but we still love you, is really, really powerful.
Yep. And Babu Frick and the fandom.
And then just to close this out. OK, I wrote it down. The order I would show my theoretical child is 4, 5, 1, 2, all Clone Wars, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, Rogue One, Solo. And then if my child will still watch with me, Rebels and the Mandalorian.
And Resistance too.
Of course, I can't forget Resistance. There's so much. It's so great.
And then of course, Kenobi, you'll probably have to declare Kenobi Day in your house.
Gotta get it all in before the child is ready to move out. Because you gotta let go. Let the child begin their adventure.
Dad, please let me go. I love Star Trek.
Okay, well, we'll watch all of Deep Space Nine, kid. All right. Great questions from Jared, Will, Rick, and Darth. Thank you, as always, for all the great questions.
Absolutely. If you have a question for us, just want to reach out, you can do so on Twitter, Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Force Center. Like our Facebook page. We are on YouTube and Instagram as well. Podcasts are available at Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music Now. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. You can also support directly on Anchor, too, if you just want to donate and support the show. But as always, a great way to support us, just subscribe, rate, review, and tell a friend or your acquaintances on social media about Force Center. We got our own stuff we always like to talk about, too. At the very end, we do other things. You can go to kenapsok.com. To link to all my shows, books, podcasts. Really having a lot of fun working hard on Saturday Night Nap Talk, kind of my audio comedy radio parody show I love doing. So check that out. We're talking about charities every week that we are invested in to kind of look outside the Star Wars galaxy. Something I've done a lot of work with in terms of charity shows and getting the word out is an organization called Operation Gratitude, based out of here. San Fernando Valley, but they send personalized care packages to soldiers stationed all over the world. You can donate, get involved, and always looking, you know, we used to do comedy shows when we were able to do comedy shows to raise the attention. Can't do that this year. So they're looking for virtual volunteers. You can go to operationgratitude.com for more information.
Joseph. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw. And then you can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, to check out all my other comedy adventures, my other podcast, Obsessed, a book about pop culture I wrote a while back called Comedy of Doom, all sorts of comedy albums and stuff. And that's all on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. And the thing that I want to highlight this week is just the website, iwillvote.com. As we are recording this, we are heading towards the final days, really, the last two weeks, really, of the election period. And a ton of states are, you know, have early voting, open voting of all kinds. And if you want to get informed about all the stuff you need to vote, you can go to iwillvote.com.
Absolutely. I put my ballot in an approved secure box last week and it felt good. So good stuff there. All right. That is it. So for Lego Chewy and everyone showing up at his house for Life Day, we'll see you next time. This was Forcing.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.